Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Turned off my microphone for a couple of
seconds. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. And how do I know it's amazing? Because it's Monday. And like I always tell my audience, and I never tell my guests, there are two shows you do not want to be on. That's the Monday show and the Friday show. Mondays, I've had way too much sleep. Fridays, I haven't had enough sleep. So only the good Lord knows what I'm about to say, but I know it's going to be fun. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, they do not want to miss out on this incredible show, especially on a Monday when it's guaranteed to be so much fun. We're going to learn from our guests. We're going to laugh from our guests, but your friends will not have this information that we learned today unless you go ahead and share the show with them. So while you're going ahead and sharing the show, I'm going to introduce you to our very first guest, Ms. Sarah O'Hennison. Sarah is a CMO turned productivity coach, trainer, and speaker. She knows what it's like to feel overwhelmed and what it's like to feel accomplished, fulfilled, and joyful every day. She built the system, tools, and templates she needed to manage life as a busy CMO. Now, she shares everything she learned and created. She coaches and trains busy professionals on how to be more productive. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
I'm excited. It's Monday. I love the energy of a Monday. I don't know why. For me, Sundays are way too slow, too boring, but it's like, yes, it's Monday. Let's get up. Let's start the show. Let's learn some things.
Totally. I love that. That's a great spirit to have on a Monday.
Yes. And we want to learn from you. We want to learn all about you, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Yeah. So you mentioned a lot of it. I was a chief marketing officer and I was really busy. I was running a company that had clients from all over the world. I was traveling a lot. And you know, what really happened for me is one day I was sitting at the airport and a woman comes up to me. I'm just sitting there grabbing something to eat before my flight. And she said, "Where are you going?" And she's just making casual, you know, nice conversation. And I said, I have no idea. I don't know. Is this business trip, vacation? I don't even know where I'm going anymore. Literally, I'm so busy and I'm at this airport so much, I don't know what's going on. And I got back to the office and it turns out it was a business trip. Got back to the office and I just thought, something's got to change here. I'm feeling this way and I know other people are needing to feel better about this as well. So I created these systems and tools and they worked for me for a really long time. And then I just felt a calling to share this knowledge and passion that I have for productivity to help other people, because we spend so much time working that I want to help you love the work that you do, but then still have time at the end of the day for the people that you love. And I think in 2020, 2021 here, oh my gosh, have we learned this more than ever, that time outside of work is really, really important.
Absolutely. I think that we have learned that over the past year during this global pandemic, but I also find, especially for entrepreneurs and business owners, we know what to do. We know we have to turn off our phones, but it's still not always easy for us to do that. And that's why we need these processes in order to take that step. What are some of the things that you advise business owners to do?
Yeah, well, and actually one of the things that I think is really important is to understand what is good enough. When you're an entrepreneur, you're never done. The clock is never over. It's 5 o'clock is nothing for you as an entrepreneur. The other big thing that's happened right now is we're all working from home. So there's no boundary between home life, work life. You don't have a commute anymore to kind of digest from being in the office. So that's a real challenge. So one thing that I work on with clients is to think about what's good enough. what would you get done today that would make you feel like I had a success day, I accomplished something towards my goals today, and I feel good about that, so that you can go home and be, or to the next room and be done for the day? And I think that that's just really important. So it's about setting expectations for the day, setting your goals ahead of time for the day, and then knowing that when you get those things done, that's a good day. You can be done.
Do you also feel that it's important to set boundaries? Because for me, the only way I can go into the different room or actually be off was for me to set business hours and not answer my emails at 3 a.m. So I had to set boundaries so people understand this is my work time and this is my life.
Right. And right now I've actually seen a lot of people are good about setting the boundaries. The problem is they're not good at communicating those boundaries. So they're saying, well, I'm going to be done working at 5:30. It's like, did you tell that to your boss, your team? Do they know that? Because they're still emailing you at 7 expecting an answer. And I think that's where we're good about setting the boundaries, but we're really afraid almost to communicate those boundaries. And that's one thing that I help even give people scripts on, is this is how you can go to your boss and talk about some of these things. It doesn't mean you're a bad employee or you're weak. It means that you need to make dinner for your kids right now. And that's appropriate and more than awesome is what you should be doing as a mom or a dad. So
absolutely. I definitely agree. Now, Sarah, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Jake Porter. Jake has done a lot of work in the business and political fields. He has managed retail stores for both successful and unsuccessful corporations and has worked for companies such as Yahoo and Apple. In addition to his business work, Jake has even run for governor of Iowa and has served on several boards and committees. He even on occasion advises presidential candidates on strategy. Good morning, Jake. How are you?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm excited. It's Monday. I want to learn all about what you do. I was interested in the retail, and then I got down to advising presidential candidates, and I was like, I have to talk to Jake.
Yes, right. I see that you are going to be running for Senate, right, in 2024?
Yes. And I need some advice.
You know, it's so exciting to have people actually get out there and put their ideas out there. That's what makes this country. The fact that we can do that, that we can share our ideas. So I think that's important for people to get out there and do that. And that's a big thing. But yeah, I started out actually doing political consulting. That's probably been doing that longer than I have the business consulting. But then about 5 years ago, I kind of fell into business consulting after retail. I was done with that, tired with that. So ended up getting involved in business consulting. And we've done very successfully, you know, we've SEO, making sure people show up online, website design, website copy, the more marketing of it. But about a year ago, I discovered many of my clients, business and political and nonprofit clients, were struggling. And I asked, they're getting involved in business activities they shouldn't be involved in, and they're running around in a circle and creating more problems for themselves. So yeah, you can make them more money and then you've got to fix more problems. They're just creating more problems they have to tunnel out of. And so I started reading more books. I came across, you know, Jim Collins' work that he's done, you know, the Good to Great series, The Built to Last, his newest book, The Be Entrepreneur 2.0. And one of the things that he'd really gotten into was that you gotta start off from the very beginning of your business, your political campaign, your nonprofit organization, and define your vision. What is it that you're creating? What is it that you're trying to build? What is your purpose? And I discovered that many of my clients and even myself and many things were not ever clearly defining this. And so we were getting sidetracked on business opportunities or tangents that we never would have gotten into, and even unrelated business matters. And then you create something that doesn't fit with anything else you've got going on. And you've created a whole new business basically within a business that you've got to find the resources. You've got to take money away from your core objectives, your core business operations, or your core nonprofit mission that you've got to fulfill this other thing. And then you're spread too thin and you struggle and you're not getting anything accomplished. So the other point too is that a lot of times with political candidates, especially, and even small business owners, we get too caught up on tactics. We let tactics define our entire business. I'm going to start this YouTube channel. I'm going to start this uh, this podcast or a Facebook page, or I'm going to put money in this type of advertising. But that's part of it, and that's an important piece, but it's not the overall vision of your business. Your business has to have a purpose, and then those are tactics to get there, which you can think clearly about, but not letting those tactics define your entire business from the very beginning.
Wow, Jake, you are interesting. I have so many more questions for you, and I can tell we can go in a lot of different directions. So instead of going into those directions right now, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, the lovely Miss Diana Dajani. Diana is the founder and CEO of EduTechnos, an online curriculum that gamifies and innovates the way children are taught Arabic. She has over 10 years experience in online and B2B business development and international scale-up strategy. She was listed in the Global Index of 50 Makers and Shakers in EdTech, won multiple international awards for her startup, which received international recognition in the media. Good morning, Diana. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm excited. I'm always excited to learn new things, meet new people. Now, let's talk about Arabic. Okay. I know you have plenty to say, but I want to talk about this because, again, Sharifa's Arabic. It means honest or of honor. And people are always surprised that I have an Arabic name, which I do. But you teach Arabic, which to me is one of the harder languages to learn. So why are you so passionate?
Well, actually, Arabic seems hard to learn because the way we teach it today. And I'm a computer engineer by profession. I'm not Arabic teacher or anything. But my son came to me when he was 3 years old, telling me that he prefers English over Arabic because English is more fun and easier, you know. And I come from Arabic heritage. Arabic is very dear to me. The language itself is very beautiful. It talks to soul. I connect with the language. It's very romantic language to me. And having my son saying that, I started creating games for him. One thing led to another. And then I have like over 4,000 resources. We have games, we have eBooks, we have worksheets and curriculums mapped. And then my second son was born and he had a different set of problems where his bilingualism was challenged. And it's like, okay, according to the research, it's been like 10 years in the making. There's actually an easier way to teach Arabic, the whole thing. And this is where I started to try, especially after I moved back to Canada. I was living over in the Middle East, Qatar and Kuwait. And when I came back here in Canada, I tried to find school that teaches Arabic so that I can give them all this gamified ecosystem. We do the training for the teachers. We have the games. We have the curriculum. We have everything. But we couldn't find the ones who would go for it, the pioneers, because it literally defies the way that people learn Arabic for the past 100 years. It's completely different. It's complete different retraining. So the pioneers will have technological problems where they don't have the resources and everything. And the ones who have it would have some resistance to try it. So my second son is not learning Arabic. He's turning 7 or 8. And then I started a center, will teach him. So we started with 3 students and he was the 4th one, 1 class. And within 6 months, we had 52 branches and we started growing in a direction that I did not actually expected or anticipated at all. And then COVID hits, we had to move everything virtual. And what's funny is, EduTechno's operation has been always virtual since conception. All the internal communication, all the team was remote team from the beginning. So the COVID, when it hits, internally we're okay. But we had to adapt the product even further because we had the center, we had the games, we had the resources, everything is online, everything is virtual. So that jump took some extra training for the teachers so that they become more comfortable with using technology to still engage the students. So we became a full ecosystem now, literally an ecosystem on demand. You download it, basically it's virtual and we can teach Arabic throughout institutions. Anybody can actually have this ecosystem. So basically I got stuck with this because of my kids. So literally, I did not choose it. It chose me. I couldn't not go through it. My passions are mostly like around robotics, AI. I'm an engineer, computer engineer. I like the creativity aspect of it. But again, with games and all of this, I'm implementing these things. And yeah, and I was literally relating to what Jake and Sarah was saying, being overwhelmed and how you need to focus your vision and everything else. And this was, especially when COVID hit, that was the biggest challenge. There are millions of things that need to be done right now. And how would you choose? And then I remember I referred back to one of the books, one of my favorite books. It's called The One Thing. And it talked about the domino effect and not any domino's effect. The author talked about a domino can knock down another domino that is double its size. And that one will knock down with the one that is double of its own size. And eventually you will get the exponential after like the 37th domino, I think, or 57th, you will reach the Eiffel Tower height. And oh, then wow. 100 more, you will reach the moon. So oh, wow. The book was talking about how can you identify that domino and keep licking it until it falls. So you focus your efforts on that specific domino so that you get that exponential growth that you want, the one that will get you there. And that was honestly half of the battle, trying to figure out that domino, because we had multiple pieces. But we're here. We're still here.
I love it. I love it. We are still here. And it reminds me of my journey. People, you know, I'm a talk show host, ran for city council, running for Senate, helped business owners, raised about $6 million in an IPO. But it all started with my children and being unemployed. And my kids were like, Mom, what's for dinner? And I'm like, I have to figure that out. And I had to keep going. But it wasn't because I'm like, oh, I want to write these books. I want to do these things. A lot of things start with our children, Diana. Now, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, Mr. Gabriel Sien. Gabriel graduated from the best engineering school in France, where he is visiting us live today, directly from France. He was a computer science student. He started his first startup as the co-founder of GetEmail.io. Over 500,000 users from over 150 countries. Good morning, Gabriel. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you for having me on this show. And nice to meet you guys. Thank you very much. Hi. What can I say? I started my first company as a student, as a matter of fact, because I really wanted to become an entrepreneur. It was a sort of destiny for me. And I knew since a young age that I wanted to do this. And as soon as this became possible, I just, you know, jumped into it. And at the end of my studies, I already had a company. I had raised some money and I was able to, you know, basically continue as an entrepreneur. So I've never been an employee of my any time in my life or eventually of my own startups and companies. So it's been hard, but it's been really, really exciting. And if I had to do it again, I would definitely do exactly the same thing. Now, I've
before
learned
you go
a lot
on,
of...
let me just ask you this. I didn't mean to cut you off, but hey, that's who I am. When you say I would do exactly the same thing, would you do it exactly the same way?
Oh, yes. Very good question. No, I would apply a certain number of lessons that I had that I have learned. For example, to be more careful to the market, to listen more to your customers, because I'm a computer engineer and I'm so, you know, obsessed with computers. But finally, creating your own company is more of being great at people and understanding how to talk to them, what are their problems are, and get out of the laboratory or eventually from, you know, in front of the computer and go talk to the people. And this is something that this is a hard lesson that I've learned during so many years. I think I'm still learning it right now because, you know, when you have a certain nature, it changes, but it changes over time. So I'm still in that process of changing, and I kind of force myself to go talk to the customers, to eventually, you know, listen to them, to their bad feedback from time to time. This is the most useful, the hardest to listen, but also the most useful and the most important one. And it's a sort of self-discipline I'm trying to apply to myself. And it's an ongoing process. It's a never-ending process, I would say. So when Sarah told us about, you know, productivity tricks and strategies, I kind of really understand this to 100%. This idea of being good enough at what you're doing and not trying to always be better and better in fields that where you are pretty okay already, which allows you to focus on other ones, which are your real priorities. And I'm not talking only about the professional life and the work life, but also the private and work balance are issues that I'm really sensitive about and which concern me at the highest point. So something else that might be interesting for me, it's really fascinating is, and we see it around this table. We are people from all across the world. Mm-hmm. And COVID at some point had a lot of drawbacks, but it kind of fostered this trend of sharing resources, talks, mm-hmm. friendships over the internet throughout the world. I come already from this kind of background. I'm Romanian by origin. I came to France 20 years ago. I lived 20 years in Romania, 20 years in France. My wife is Polish. My kids speak. I mean, my kid, because I only have one, waiting for a second one in 2 months. He's still in production right now. yeah. So we are talking in Polish, in Romanian, in French, and also in English. Starting next year to him. My right now, getemail.io is a team of 25 people from all across the world. My business partner comes from Lebanon. His wife is Chinese. Our customers come from 150 different countries. Our team members come from Pakistan, from Ukraine, from Egypt, from Sri Lanka, from India, from the Philippines also. So we are a sort of micro multinational. And when I talk to people from all those cultures, from all those living in so many countries, I can kind of understand that this industry, this web helps us to gather around a common village, which is the worldwide right now. And yes. It's kind of fascinating for me.
I love it. It's fascinating for me. So what we have to do now is go ahead and join Gabriel up with Diana, because we're gonna add Arabic to the languages that we're teaching. Okay.
There you go. Absolutely. We split them.
Now I'm gonna come back to you, Gabriel. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Jacob Wedderburn Day. Jacob is the founder of Stasher, a travel tech startup that connects travelers looking to store luggage with shops and hotels providing storage space. Jacob and Anthony, friends from their time studying economics at Oxford together, co-founded the business in 2015. Good morning, Jacob. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm dialing in from London, which is why my hair looks the state it is. We're still in lockdown. I've got a month to go till I get a haircut. So.
Wow, a month to go. I thought we were bad in California. We just opened that up about a month prior. So, hey, you'll feel better once you get that haircut.
I can't wait. I'm looking more and more like a sheep. So,
tell us about yourself. Who are you? What are you passionate about?
I think the easiest way. So I've actually got three projects on the go at the moment. And the easiest way to explain them is to walk you through the quick story of how it all came about. Stasher was the brainchild of me and my best mate at university, a guy called Anthony. Sorry, I'm gesturing over my shoulder because he's working up there somewhere. We, like Gabriel, actually, I really identify with that sense of we really wanted to be entrepreneurs. We used to talk all the time when we were studying about like, how great would it be to do this? This was at the time when Uber and Airbnb were starting to become more and more household names. And we're like, we loved that model. We loved that kind of sharing economy concept, that marketplace kind of model. And so we used to talk all the time about like different ideas we could make work. And actually Stasher came about by accident. It was because Anthony, when we moved to London, was living really centrally between like King's Cross and Euston. And I don't know if you're so familiar with the city, but it's two of the busiest stations. So people were always asking, can we leave stuff at your place? Can you look after this? And one time he just cracked a joke about, I should charge people to store their stuff with me. And we're like, hang on a second, a marketplace for storage would actually be, you know, is that a good idea? And so we looked into it and we were like, let's just build it, you know, let's work through this. It's the best way to learn is by doing. And 5 years later, as you said, I mean, we've raised about 4 million to fund it. We've hired over 20 people. We're live in 250 cities and it landed us on the Forbes list. So that was pretty cool. However, it takes a turn for the worse when the pandemic broke out, because obviously being a travel tech startup, we weren't ideally placed. And the other thing I think that was, in some ways it was good, but it was obviously unfortunate, was a lot of companies pivoted at that time and we looked to do something similar, but because it was hotels and shops providing storage and they were similarly hard hit, we really ended up kind of with not a lot that we could do. And in some ways, the advantage of that was we were like, okay, the only sensible thing to do now is to hibernate. We've just got to kind of spend as little as possible, put this on ice, which is what we did. And that's what's led to the sort of subsequent products, is we've had this time on our hands. The government support's been great, by the way. So, you know, we haven't had to let anyone go or anything like that. It's been nice for keeping the team together. But then we were like, okay, what do we do with all this time? You know, we can't just sit still. What else is there? And I remember having this moment at the start of the pandemic where there were some rare good news stories around like how good it was for the environment and nature coming back into cities and all this kind of positivity. And I felt a bit conflicted because I was like, on the one hand, I'm a travel entrepreneur. It's almost like my professional duty to sort of campaign for travel to come back. And yet on the other hand, I'm like, I'm clearly seeing the benefits in terms of the environment here. How do you square that? And Ant and I have always been quite passionate about climate change just as a cause to get behind. And so we were like, right, let's learn more about this. Let's see what we can do. So in the last year, we launched a social enterprise called Tree Points. And the idea there is it's around helping like educate around climate change, but also give people something easy to do to contribute. So with Tree Points, we fund a bunch of cool green projects, renewable energy, carbon offsetting, tree planting, all these kind of things, set it up as a sort of subscription model. So people can basically, it's like £3 or like $5 a month or something. And it's a subscription that means you can directly offset your carbon footprint. We sort of model it around like being carbon neutral, but really it's about funding projects that are making a difference in the fight against climate change. And now we're rolling out a suite of things to make that accessible for businesses too. So businesses can embed tree planting in their checkout flow, or, you know, carbon offset the specific footprint of a product. That's what we've been up to in the last year, because it would have been too boring just to wait around for travel to come back. And I'm sure it will. I'm very confident travel will be back and I'm looking forward to it. But
yeah,
that's something else to do.
It's definitely coming back. And I have to go over to London. I have to see if Anthony's real. I have to see if he's a real person. I want to go over to you, Jake, because you talk about being a business consultant as well as a political consultant. You have four other people who are from varied backgrounds, and I just see you staring and watching. What are your thoughts so far?
I really like, everything that's been said, and everything inspires me in many ways. You know, when Sarah had talked about you prioritizing your life, that's something that I've struggled with all my working career, and I think every one of my clients struggles with that too. It's so critical that we get that point. And you know, there's different methods to do it, but it's important to have one that works for you and find out what that is and get that done. And I'm also inspired by the entrepreneurship I see from the other three guests too, to be able to see a need in the marketplace and get stuff going. I think that's really, really important that we have. There's many needs out there, and that when people are able to find them and build something around those, that's great. And to have a very focused vision, everyone on here has a focused vision of what they want, what their purpose is. And, you know, and like Jacob, you know, with the COVID, this has really put us back, but not losing focus on that and just building something more. A lot of entrepreneurs and business people will give up right at that point, the first setback. So that's critical too, is to keep going forward and not let that stand in your way.
Absolutely.
I admire Jacob for Jacob, right? Your name is Jacob? Okay, Jacob, for looking at a project related to ecology. I remember this this joke, this story we tell each other about this. You know, there is a fire in the jungle, and all the animals fight to against that fire. And you have the elephant who takes a lot of water and tries to, you know, throw it at the fire. And at some point you have a bee who is also moving back and forth towards the sea and back to the jungle. And of course the bee is really small, so it brings small quantities of water. And the elephant says, "What are you doing here? You're not going to extinct this fire with this quantity of water. It's useless what you do." And the bee says, "You know, I'm just doing my part." And so the story goes that at the end, you know, at the end of the day, the jungle was still burnt. So the idea behind here is behind this is, you know, we can, each one of us can do something, you know, about it. But do we solve the whole problem with this? And I kind of feel frustrated about so many politically correct projects and people making big speeches about this, and maybe focusing our attention on something that is not the real solution here. So what is your opinion about this, especially Jacob, because I think you're pretty knowledgeable about this. You've certainly thought of all these subjects before starting your you know, pivoting with your startup.
Climate change is a funny one because I think it's so overwhelming as a problem that it's very tempting to sort of say it's a big problem, it needs a big solution, and it's not really my place to do anything about it. It's ironic as well. I saw Bill Gates said something along these lines. He was saying technology is ultimately what kind of got us into this mess. So it's great to rely on technology to fix it, but we kind of all need to play our part. And I think there's a couple of different ways to go about doing that. The first is to limit the emissions you put out into the world in the first place. But I think given the standard of living that we've come to get used to, and I don't even mean that in a negative way. I think it's, you know, there's a certain amount of energy that's just necessary for life to go on in a way that is meaningful. You're never going to get emissions down to zero. And so investment in renewables and new tech is really essential. But I think, as you say, I mean, in the metaphor, you also need the elephants doing their part. You need government stepping in. And I think from what I've researched, I mean, the most fundamental thing we need to get right is the agreement to cut fossil fuels, even at the point of extraction. Like we shouldn't even be digging up coal and oil anymore. We should be leaving that in the ground, making that shift to renewables, because it doesn't matter if we get renewables really working if we're still continuing to burn coal and oil at the same rate. So I think, yeah, it's a complex problem, and it needs many solutions, big and small, really, to do anything.
Absolutely. I think it was an excellent question. Thank you, Gabriel. Sarah, Jake, Diana, would either of you love to comment or respond to that question?
Well, I'm just going to add to what Gabrielle and Jacob said. There's with the story of the elephant and the bee. My grandmother told me once a story, and that story became very famous in conferences for some reason. So I'm going to share this with you guys. She told me the story of a poor village that being invaded, and the leader said to everyone, "We don't have enough oil for the cannons. And by the morning, if every one of you guys, the villagers, if you just donate a drop of oil in this barrel, it will be full by the morning, and then we can win this battle." So the morning comes and the leader opens up the barrel, and what does he find it?
Empty.
Empty. Everyone said, "What would my drop do?" So the effort matters. Everyone should do their role, and eventually it will add up. It's exactly like what Gabrielle said about the elephant and the bee. Everyone needs to do their role.
Yes, I love that. Everybody has to do our part. Sarah, you're doing your part to make this world a better place. What are your thoughts on the conversation so far?
Yeah, I think it goes across so many levels. You know, this can be, we can be talking about climate change, we can be talking about just how you're managing your day and your time, you know, like these, we think these things are so far away, or like my 5-year goals, my 10-year goals, they're so far away, you know, if what does what I do today matter for any of this, and the climate change conversation for sure. But it does. And I think these messages today are just so powerful, you know, like put it in the recycling bin instead of the trash. That is one small thing, but it really adds up. And it's just so easy to, it's so easy to lose sight of that. So I really appreciate that. Jacob, I also want to say I have been that traveler who needed to put my luggage somewhere. So I always would like fly into London and then have to go on to another city. And so I think just a comment that you're doing great work in that space, because I have felt that, and you land, you've had a long flight from overseas and you're going, if I have to drag this for two more train stations, my back's gonna break. So great.
Yeah, it's a very familiar pain point. I completely agree.
Yes, but what I love is just the ability to see a need and then create a business out of it. And that's what I see with so many entrepreneurs, is they see a need. Like Diana, she saw a need, and Diana to me feels almost apologetic. Like, I didn't really want to do this. I didn't want this business. They just landed in my lap. I had to teach these kids. So it was the need of really survival and making something that was so dear and near to her heart, dear and near and easier for not only your children, but children in general.
And I'm going to add to that, the reason I think I keep saying this, because there's a lot of the people in my circle keep telling me, why are you doing this? You can make much more money if you just stick with what you do, like your engineering, AI and robotics. Why are you doing this? And I keep saying, I really don't feel I have a choice over here. Mm-hmm. The mission, it's a calling, you know, I can't disengage at this point. A lot of times I'd wish if I can, but if you can't, you gotta see it through to the end.
So, yes. Yeah. Jake, do you feel being an entrepreneur is a calling?
Yeah, I think that it is. You know, it's something that, and whether it be, you know, advising political candidates to, or something I feel called to do, particularly on specific issues. That's why I ran for governor. Criminal justice reform was one of the top issues that I ran on, because it wasn't being talked about. Not that I particularly cared to, you know, run for governor and do all that and take the risk that comes along with doing that. Taking time, that's something that there's callings that each one of us has, and finding that purpose and then going ahead and fulfilling it. And you know, talking about big issues too, like climate change. There's an excellent book on what's called Going Upstream by I think it was Dan Heath. And the idea is finding, these problems can be smaller problems, like problems within our lives, problems within our businesses, problems, and they can be larger problems with the healthcare system, problems with climate change. But the idea is finding problems early on and correcting them before they become larger. There's a, you know, I think it was a healthcare parable about it, that you and your friend are out there and you notice that there's a kid drowning in the river and you jump in to save him. And you notice there's another kid. You're trying to save them and there's more kids. Your friend jumps out of the water and you ask him, where are you going? There's these kids drowning. He says, well, I'm going up there to catch the guy that's pushing these kids off the bridge. And it's that way with so many problems that we've got to find the root of the problem. And in business, if we don't do it, it'll collapse our business for a while. If you realize you're spending a whole bunch of money that's not productive, not going towards anything productive, or you've got a problem employee that's costing you business, or something as big as climate change, it's taking those first steps to actually do something about it. And until we do it, it's the problem's just going to get worse.
Now, when you ran for governor, had you had any political experience prior to that?
I had advised campaigns. I had run for Secretary of State before. So I'd done some things before. So I had before that, and needed a message on some of these issues that were being ignored, I felt.
No, I'm just interested because the reason I ran for senator is I was going to run for governor because I was so mad at how the situation had been handled in California, the whole COVID. And I'm like, I got to do something. I'm going to be governor. And then I was like, wait a minute, you know, maybe baby steps, baby steps. And so I took a step back and I said, well, I'll run for Senate, get my little political feet wet, and then start out on the process. So I think it's amazing that you just kind of went to a certain extent straight to the top.
Yeah, and a lot of it, you know, my goal, I ran as a third-party candidate. So my goal was not specifically to win. I didn't expect to become governor, but I wanted to get these issues out there. And that was a good method to get them out there that I felt that to get these issues discussed that were being ignored. And it surprised me the diversity of political thought that agreed with me and would tell me that, oh, yes, we like what you're doing on these issues, that a lot of people agreed that I didn't expect would.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because when I ran for city council, one of the things that I loved and I learned was that no matter what a person felt about me, they had to hear me. They had to listen to me. I had a platform to have a voice because they had to speak to all the candidates. So I approached it just like you did, Jake. It wasn't about winning or losing. It's about getting the message out there. So for me, one of the messages that I'm so passionate about is not only entrepreneurship, but after being laid off 8 times, after being homeless, I kind of... It goes back to your story, Jake, of pushing people off this mountain or this cliff, is that we often focus so much on the homelessness issue, but to me, that's a symptom. I believe so many Americans are one paycheck away from being homeless. And again, after being laid off 8 times, it's like, okay, let's fix the problem and not try to find homes for people who are already homeless. That's wonderful, but let's fix the problem. Sarah, I see you nodding. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, and I just see this again on so many levels, and certainly we're talking about big issues here today, but it does, these things feel so big and it's really important. I actually have clients do an audit of, you know, what are the things that you're working on and really taking those steps back. Where is that coming from? What is causing that to happen? And it's fascinating and certainly eye-opening. I hear the complaint all the time, like, I've just got way too many emails. Like, well, yeah, but what's causing all those emails? Maybe there's a process breakdown, or maybe your boss doesn't know that you can do something without an email. You know, there's so many reasons why these things are happening. And I think at all levels, issues big and small, thinking about what are the causes versus what are the symptoms is just such a smart way to handle this stuff. You know, you can't just put Band-Aids on things forever.
Absolutely. Now, Gabriel, you are a serial entrepreneur. Do you feel that it was just something that I know you started as a student in college, but were you one of those kids who was outside selling lemonade or mowing lawns at some point? Entrepreneurs is usually that way all of their lives.
Can you ask the question again, please? I'm not sure.
Were you always an entrepreneur?
Yes, I have always been so in my head, in my mind, and then in into facts, into reality, as soon as it was possible. Does this answer your question, Sharif?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to get back to what Sarah said because it resonates so strongly in my mind. You know, looking at the root cause and attacking that one in order to fix your problem. We are getting coached, myself and my business partner, my co-founder of getemail.io, and we are looking at so many different aspects of our behavior, of our behavioral patterns, about our limiting beliefs. And it's so incredible how we kind of set up some dysfunctional mechanisms in our heads, in our minds, which we are unaware of. And there's somebody saying, hey, look here. And it's obvious after you have looked out there, but before it was impossible to detect this. And problems just go away. It's incredible. We are living this kind of reality for a couple of weeks now, even a couple of months. So I'm a strong believer into looking into the root cause of the problems and working out there, not at the surface.
What are some of the things that you found that were holding you back?
Yeah, so let me give you the most deep one and the most subtle. In my childhood, my dad, my parents, and especially my dad was very hard on me. Mm-hmm. And it was good because he was asking a lot of things. So it taught me to kind of work on myself and to look for performance. And it was really great. But there was a subtle problem in it, is that he was really focusing on the effort I made, not on the results. Okay, So I ended up putting the effort I make in front of the goals. So at the end of the day, I used to say, okay, so have I worked like crazy? Have I made a lot of effort today? And I was satisfied. And of course, I was doing this for results, for a goal. But the goal was almost secondary to making efforts. So I ended up working like crazy, being satisfied at the end of the day, but with doing not so much. And when people told me, there were several people telling me, Guy, you're working like crazy. It should be easier. What you're doing should be easier. And I was like, no, I'm doing something difficult. I'm an entrepreneur and I have to work. This is my life. And it took me like 10 or 15 years to understand that there was this kind of skewed prioritization between the effort on one side and the results on the other side. And I kind of, and it was really difficult for me to understand this because, of course, in order to do outstanding things, you need to make an outstanding effort. However, those two were completely kind of, reverted, not in the right order. So this is one of the examples of, you know, attacking the cause and not the consequence and looking at things at a deeper level.
So what do you do different now?
trying to have a different mindset. When I'm looking at the results, I mean, my life is now a set of experiments. It's a laboratory. And I write them down. I have an Excel file. I write everything I'm trying to do. And around 20 to 30% of what I'm doing is successful. But at the same time, I'm looking how hard this is. And if it's too hard, then I'm going to try to find something that is easier and to have the same results. And just keeping this kind of idea in my mind helped me so much decrease the level of effort and increase the level of results. So now, to be honest, I'm still making a lot of efforts because I'm very resilient and this is one of my competencies. But at the same time, I'm aiming much higher. And, you know, it allows you to make the same quantity of effort, but at the same time, reach much more and realize much more.
I think that's a transition that we're seeing as a people and a society, because I remember when I first started out, I built my first website in 1994, and I saw then the internet was the way for me to be able to be a stay-at-home mom and to have this business. But because our society was focused on more of manual labor, that if you didn't go out to work, if you didn't have a job, it doesn't matter how much money you make, is the idea that you have to go and physically do some work. And now, especially as a result of this COVID pandemic, the world is seeing you don't have to necessarily leave your house in order for you to be successful. And it's a lot easier and a lot more fun. Diana, what are your thoughts?
Definitely. When it comes to entrepreneurship and challenges and the efforts and everything else, what I found in my journey, in my case, if you have the right support system, you would thrive better than if you don't. If the support system is lacking, then there's a problem. I feel that I was lucky that I have my family very supportive. If I'm busy with any project, I'm traveling, whatever, I have my husband, my two boys, they're very supportive. They understand, because whenever I do a good deal, we go on a vacation. There's something in it for them. So you create that support system and everyone needs to be on the same page. I'm not like, from. I feel this bit, whether you're a female or a male, if you have a family, it helps if all of you are on the same page, because all of you are building this together. So this is the bit where I find it helpful. And also, if I want, right back to the point with the politics, the source of the problems and how can we solve this. Actually, when you guys started talking about solving problems and coming up with solution, the word innovation just popped into my head. And then I remembered that part of my MBA thesis, it was about how remote work can resuscitate innovation. And when I went on the innovation cycle, the chain of innovation, supply chain, And the remote channel was best of bringing ideas, different perspectives. And the challenges, there are multiple sessions, multiple stages, but the challenges were the development of these ideas would have delays, because especially if the remote team is in different time zone, there will be some delays. But in the politics, I'm not sure how this development will have. If you have, probably in politics, you need everyone to vote, so this is like the buy-ins. But what was more interesting, the bigger the corporation or the organization, the harder it is to distribute this idea, if it's internally specifically. If you have this innovation, internal innovation, you want to distribute it, it was very challenging. And upper management would think it's already dissipated and everyone is implementing it, but in reality, it's not. And there where you see the change management and the challenge just to do it. So I would guess, I know nothing about the politics inside the politics, but just seeing what's happening with COVID and the vaccine distribution is basically the hardest part of even without remote work.
Yes, I'd love to hear your thoughts, Jacob, on what Diana just had to say, not only on innovation, but getting your idea out to your team.
May I add something? Is that we both of three of us, Jake, Diana, and myself, we told some stories. And we have Jacob and Sarah, who remains to tell some stories also. So maybe you have some. Sorry, Jacob, I'm just...
We'll get some stories from Jake and Sarah. I'm sure they have some stories.
No worries. Sorry, you're asking about the sort of remote work and innovation aspect,
yes.
Right? That's what we were
yes.
talking about. I think it's funny. We obviously needed remote work this year, right? Because it's fantastic that the internet and everything is at a place where we can work and work through the situation. Personally, I hate remote work. I can't wait to be back in the office and like have a team around me. And I think, to be fair, that's my bias, is because we're a small team and we always have been. And I think you get a lot out of the presence of people around you and the energy that comes from the ideas that people share, like in those chance interactions, like when you're just hanging out and, you know, that's my personal preference, really. I think there's a lot of value in that. I think as well I've seen this with newer team members. Actually, I really saw this with my girlfriend when she started a new job during the pandemic. I think it's quite tricky to integrate into a new job when you've never met anyone in person. It's a weird dynamic, sort of seeing that unfold over a couple of months. She's like, you know, there's all these people she's working with that she's never actually met in real life. All that being said, I think, you know, the brilliant thing about people is we adapt and we find ways to innovate even when we have these constraints, right, and these obstacles. So there's a place for remote work, and I think it's going to be more of a fixture of work going forwards. Personally,
I definitely agree.
That's my opinion.
I agree, though, because I used to always say I went to work so I could have lunch with my coworkers. That was like the highlight of my day. Not the work, not what I needed to do. But my coworkers, they were really cool. We had to have lunch. I had to find out what was going on, who just had a baby, who was sleeping with who was doing what with who just got married, who just got divorced. That's why you go to work. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Jake.
The important thing is to make sure you have a vision. You know your purpose at the very beginning of anything you do, and you set that foundation before you start any project, before you run for office, before you launch a nonprofit, before you start a business, that you have that vision from the very basis of it, and you know what your purpose is and what your core values are, and you don't let anything conflict with that vision or your core values ever.
Absolutely. And if people want more information about you or maybe take advantage of your consulting services, where can they find you?
They can find me at jakeporterconsulting.com, jakeporterconsulting.com.
Love it. Thank you, Jake. Diana, what do you have for us?
Well, the takeaways, I think, is focus on support system, creating support system. Your life would become much easier once you have that. And read the book, The One Thing. It will help you to focus, because it's very easy, as Sarah was saying, to just get overwhelmed. And the last thing I would like to mention is if somebody wants to learn and how to engage online, tutoring online, any subject or anything. Actually, in EduTechnos, we started this academy where we teach and we give the courses in Arabic, English, and French. If anybody is interested through your show, they can just email me at diana@edutechnos.com.
Thank you, Diana. I appreciate that. Now we're going to go over to Gabriel because we have to add Arabic to your list of languages. What do you have for us, Gabriel?
Yes. So as you said, I just forgot to do some shameless self-promotion. So I'm going to go for it. So getemail.io is a startup that uses artificial intelligence and big data to guess the professional email address of virtually anyone on earth. So it's used by marketers, by salespeople, by even planners, by you name it. We have 500,000 users. Anyone is going to need at some point to find the email address of somebody, a director, a recruiter, whatever. Just do not hesitate. We are free for basic use. So just go ahead, type in getemail.io, play a little bit. If you want to find the email address of the president of the United States, this is possible with our application. So do not hesitate just for fun and until you find something really useful to do with it. Thank you.
So you give me ideas now. I got to talk to Biden. I got some things that I need to get off my chest. So thank you for that. Jacob, what do you
thank
have
you, Sharifa.
For
So my plug is going to be for Tree Points. It's built for everybody if you care about climate change. It's half the price of a Netflix subscription, but it's a great way to learn more about climate change and directly support projects that are making a difference. My piece of advice would be a bit like Gabriel. You're never too young to start. You learn by doing. So if you have an idea, there's so many free tools are now available for you to build it. You don't need to even necessarily be a programmer. There's some great no-code stuff out there. So just get stuck in.
Okay. And if people wanted to learn more about your services, where can they find you?
Sure. Treepoints.green. That's our climate change social enterprise. Stasher.com. When we're traveling again, that's the luggage one. And you can always reach me either on LinkedIn or jacob@stasher.com.
Things are opening up, Jacob. I would start creating a marketing campaign for stasher.com right now. I would move it like, okay, travel is opening up. You're getting away. Stash your luggage. I will start that now because everybody is restless. They want to be out. Everything is opening up. By the summer, they'll be flying. So get ready, Jacob. I'm going to see you everywhere.
We got a big piece coming out in April around sustainable travel, kind of like fusing the two. So look out for that.
I definitely will. Send it over to me, Jacob. I'd definitely love to have a read. Sarah, what did you think of today's show?
I loved it. And I think one of the themes that was coming through is really that we're working on the right things and we're focused on those things. And everybody here is doing that. And just kind of my word of wisdom for people today is that we really wear busy as a badge of honor. And I think it's important that we're busy working on the right things, not just busy for the sake of being busy. So I think this group is definitely doing that, but something, you know, a takeaway for the listeners. People can connect with me. I give little nuggets of wisdom. I call them quick wins every Friday in my email. So you can join my email subscription. My website is so-productive.com and you can join the email list there. Also active on LinkedIn, Sarah Ohannison, and Instagram, so.productive on Instagram. So love to connect with people there as well.
Okay, so Gabriel feels that you need to share a story. I'm just relaying the message.
Well, I have one story, really quick. We had this communication story. So we have a CEO of our old businesses from South Africa, and we ran a group of summer programs for kids around the world. And we have another counselor who is also from South Africa, and they're texting me at midnight saying, tomorrow, can they come freestyle, okay? And I've got a video crew there. I'm ready to make a video. And the poor guy shows up, and I said, okay, go ahead, freestyle. And he goes, I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. And this poor guy ended up freestyle rapping for me on camera. And I text our CEO and I said, why did you have me do that? And he goes, oh, it was just, I thought he could just freestyle talk and do a testimonial on the camera. And I've asked this poor guy to rap. So anyways, I think the gist of it is just that, you know, communication is so important, and it's important to over communicate instead of under communicate, because you think people understand these texts you get at midnight, but They do not. And that can be very awkward and uncomfortable for a lot of people. And we have a good laugh about it now. But yeah, just a quick story there on communication.
Yes, good call, Gabriel, because I love that story, Sarah. That's important. And I learned that because a lot of the people that I work with are not in America. That, you know, and one of the things I've learned is we have a lot of jargon that does not necessarily translate well into other languages. So now, because a lot of people I work with are in India, in Dubai, and I may say something, you know, American is apple pie, and it doesn't translate the same way. So I've learned to be crystal clear and specific and take them through all the steps on what I want done. Great story. I would love to see that video of him freestyling and the fact that he actually did it.
It was so good. He's like, actually, I'm a musician. I was like, well, that got lucky.
That is a win. I love it. This has been a great show. I want to thank you all for being a guest on Monday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. It doesn't mean we still don't need your support. Please go ahead and share the show. But I always ask, not only that you share the show, but that you support our guests. Our guests are here with you this morning to share their journeys, share their stories, share their business, share their advice. So support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. But as always, don't just visit their websites. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.